does surpass as great and perfect truth, as seldom ever, even in 100,000 million dollars. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I have vowed to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amici the Buddha, amici the Dharma, amici the Sangha. One of the metaphors that is used in the teachings on reharmonization with the eternal is a metaphor of the battle between the dragon and the tiger. River Master explained this by saying that in this metaphor, the dragon represents the eternal. The tiger represents the selfish self. Of course, in reality, this is an entirely one-sided battle. The thrashing around of the selfish self as it struggles to surrender, to find its way to surrender. And in its struggling, so often does the things that are not actually in the direction of surrender. By surrender here, of course, is meant surrender to the eternal. And by surrender to the eternal, is meant really the laying down, the giving up of the insistence on anything whatsoever. Because of the complex and pained and confused and often convoluted nature of karma, some karma in particular, there can be at times a good deal of thrashing about. And I should say really very sincere thrashing about. As one struggles to find one's way to a deeper surrender and a deeper reharmonization. with the eternal. When feelings are running high, when confused and doubting thoughts and hardened opinions are swirling around in one's mind, what can one do in the most practical of senses? What can one do to move in the direction of that surrender, of that deeper reharmonization? And how to grow lotus blossom, River Master describes the place, the spiritual place she came to, the place of decision. About how she was going to deal with the opposites that were vying in her mind and in her feelings at the time. This was an absolutely crucial decision. Because she was going no deeper, no further spiritually without making it and without making the right decision. One can go into a very long list of what won't work here. Things that won't work. And this includes just about everything you can think of. There's one thing that does work. And she describes it very well here. We're all familiar with this passage. I'll read it again. It's plate 2, Scaling the Glass Mountain. There's nothing for it but to go straight up the face of this glass mountain. How do I climb that which is sheer and glassy? In other words, how do I do the seeming impossible? How can I get above and beyond these vying opposites? By going straight up, she goes on to say, by not thinking whether I will live or die, but not thinking I am adequate or inadequate, male or female. Maleness and femaleness cannot help me here. Here the world of the opposite ceases. There is no way up for one who is stuck in inadequacy or inadequacy. Up and up and up without ever doubting my ability, without looking down, without thinking, without caring about the lightning that comes from the storms, without fearing the ferocious animals that I may meet, without worrying about the darkness or the avalanches, holding fast to the memory of the first Kensho, the first great experience of the eternal. In other words, holding fast to the eternal. Up, up, and up will the climb to the top never end. Perhaps everyone else was right. Perhaps to go off into despair. But I know this is wrong and will not listen to the voice that whispers, go back. You are too weak. You cannot do it. You have not been good enough to climb the mountain. You have not done enough to train yourself. You do not know how to climb. And I say, quiet. I can climb and I will. This is the greatest expression, the purest and the greatest expression in words that I have ever seen of what it means to grasp the will. Whether one takes the spiritually passive position of inadequacy or the spiritually passive position of complacency, the former of which says, I cannot do it, the latter of which says, I don't need to do it. Whether one takes either of these positions, one goes no further from that position than to continue to rattle around in it and or its opposite. One has to get a hold of oneself with the will and simply say, I'm done playing the game of the opposites. I'm done thrashing about, looking to externals for a solution, to other people, to opinions, to the past. None of these things matters. None of these things is real. This is the gateway to true meditation. Stop the fight. Stop the thrashing. Stop the striving. Stop the excuses. Stop the complaining. Stop the criticizing, stop the doubting, and just sit still within one's own guts, within one's own body and mind. Get down into the hara, sit still, look up. That is the only way forward when you are in this position. There is no other way forward. This is a place at which people either despair or where they look up. It's that simple. Adequacy and inadequacy. Doubting oneself or resting on one's laurels. They do you no good here. They're equally unreal and unsatisfactory. There's only one thing to do, and that's just to get down in there and meditate. No matter how painful it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what the obstacles may be, this is why Kazan says, more than once, only when you concentrate your mind will Buddhas appear. I should say, perhaps he says it in more than one way. That is one of the ways in which he expresses it. Only when you concentrate your mind will Buddhas appear. It's a every minute meditation. No matter how far we've gone in training, when we come to the end of the roads, we're only going further if we do exactly what is being described here. This isn't a matter of luck. It's not a matter of being a special person. It's not a matter of having some great store of merit. It's just a matter of meditating as if your hair was on fire, as if your life depended on it. It really is exactly, precisely that simple. If one comes to the end of these roads of adequacy and inadequacy, and one doesn't do this grasping of the will exactly as being described here, then what will happen is we'll end up in a tape loop of thought and feeling, where it will just play and replay again and again and again, and it will be an endless road of mental and emotional confusion and suffering. And that tape loop is the real hell. There is no real hope in it. There is no future in it. It's just bogging down in self. Just bogging down in self. And wallowing in it. Always with the hope of progress around the corner, and it will always be around the corner, just out of sight. As Dogen said, the rules for meditation, there is only one thing, to train hard, for this is true enlightenment. Enlightenment is not how we feel. It's not some state of grace that we live in. It is just applying meditation and the precepts in detail in our daily life. It is true that one can try too hard to do what I'm describing. This is not giving the tiger a thrashing. This is leading the tiger to the place where the tiger can feel safe and relax and just be still. And that place is the place of stillness in the hara, not some external place and not some external set of conditions. The problem of the excessive striving is if one comes about from externalizing what I'm talking about, when really all I'm talking about is meditating. Meditating is the kindest thing that you can do for the tiger. It's taking the tiger peacefully to the dragon. Helping him be still enough that he can be helped by the dragon. It is taking the self, all the pain and confusion, to the eternal and being still enough. In pure meditation, that the eternal can help that pain and confusion that is what we call the self, the selfish self. At its deepest level, this becomes the dissolving of the illusory self. The dissolving of the illusion of self into the immaculacy, the immaculate emptiness of our true refuge, of our true nature. In just a few days, we begin our monastic retreat. This is an excellent time to put this teaching into practice. Homage to all the Buddhas in all the world. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all the world. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.